The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Praise you, Lord Christ. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be as acceptable in thy sight, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's so good to be back here with you. My name is the Reverend Jared Jones. I, until recently, was the associate rector here at All Saints Winter Park. In December, very recently actually, in December, which in my life, you know, so we had a newborn in October, of our fifth child. We have five children under the age of seven. So had a newborn in October and a new job in December. So that's like 5 months, but could be 20 years, you know, somewhere in that gap. That I've been at the rector at Holy Cross in Sanford. And it's been a joy, to be there. But, you know, Stu asked me, I'm not saying he asked me last night, but, we were talking last night and he was wondering about tomorrow, you know, today, and, we were dreaming a little bit and, but when he asked, hey, could you sub in for us? I thought, absolutely, you know, and I was thinking about it today, you know, being back here, at this service, because this service had a profound impact, and I'm not going to make the whole sermon about me, Lord please, this service had a profound impact on me as a preacher, because what I've loved about this service is two things, and I've talked about them many times when I was here. One is the, unmistakable or unmissable reality that we are actually sinners. That this service really doesn't allow you to put up a lot of false fronts. I mean, you can, you know. One of the things I loved about this service was that for the most part, a lot of those fronts were kind of put to the side. And people who came here were very aware that they were sinners or sufferers. In other words, that they needed something. And so many times we go to church for things that we want, or things that we think we have to give, or things that we are expect to get out of it, maybe to help our career, or, you know, we gotta play the game, it's a good, you know, we're in downtown Winter Park, it's a good place to know people, you know, all those things. And including wherever you are, in downtown Sanford, believe it or not, they do the same thing. Hope that's not recorded, but what I loved about this service was there's no pretense for any of that. And it really was about, I am in need. And it didn't matter how rich you were, how poor you are, how old you are, how young you are, that we have this kind of common ground together that was based purely on our equal standing before God. Which is not just, oh, we're all kind of, we have this human dignity because we're all made in the image of God. Sure. But it was really a more powerful standing than that we are all stand before a holy God in desperate need. And that had a profound impact on my preaching because that changed me as a preacher to be somebody who tries at least to preach about that on Sunday morning. Say, hey, you know what? You might have dressed up a little bit, but you're still the same person here that you were Saturday night. You're still the same person you hear that you are Tuesday night at the healing service. You're still the same person here that you'll be Monday morning. You just maybe put up a few more presentations to the world. And the second thing that I loved about this service is that it met that profound need with a living God. And that's so powerful. And it's so missing in so many pulpits today. And it's not missing here. And that's one of the reasons why God has blessed this church. And it's not missing for the most part in this diocese, which is one of the reasons why God has continued to bless and preserve this diocese. The idea that we, when we preach, what we have to proclaim is not just empty words or a philosophy about life, This is not a place to hear a how-to on how to get better finances, how to have a better marriage or better relationships or better parenting or whatever it might be. Because you don't need a living God for any of that. You just need a TED Talk and a microphone and a few ideas that no one's ever going to challenge because no one's ever going to do them. You know, no one will ever know if they work. Every single talk you've ever heard, you've never done a single thing that they told you to do. You might have done one thing one time, but that's it. And so, you know, we get to sit up here, we could say all kinds of things, you'll all go, that's awesome. And I'm like, I have no idea if that's true, you know, like, try it, you know, you won't. And then you'll think, well, he does. And I'm like, no, I don't. But what I loved is that we really met that need with a living God, a God who actually speaks today, right now, even in this room, who has something to say to you in the midst of your need. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your fear, a living God who speaks a kind and comforting word. And so that's a long-winded way to say that I'm really glad to be back here because this place had a huge impact on me. Tonight, what I want to talk about is this 1 John chapter 5 reading, because at first glance, it's a little bit perplexing. It's perhaps a little bit disconcerting. I mean, there's a part of me that goes, did John really say that? Like, is that really what he said? 1 John 5, I write these things to you that you believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. If you see your brother or sister committing what is not a deadly sin, you will ask, and God will give life to such a one, to those whose sin is not deadly. There is sin that is deadly. I do not say that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not deadly. We know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who is born of, who was born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. And we know that we are God's children, and we know the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God, eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That whole part in 1 John, where John is talking about there is sin that does not lead to death. What does he mean by that? Because what that could quickly get into is like, well, there's kind of, maybe if you grew up Catholic, the way they might have understood this was there's venial sins and there's mortal sins. You know, there's sins that are kind of like, not the biggest deal in the world. You can kind of look around it. You can kind of move, we all get it. We all do. And then there's the mortal sins and those are a big deal. Don't ever do those. And really quickly what that gets into is that the church becomes just kind of this sin management game of like, well, you know, Father, this was close to a mortal sin, but I still think it's kind of a venial sin. If you'll carve out a little bit of area and back into the venial, you know, like if you understood my mom, you would know why that's actually a venial sin and not a mortal sin, you know, whatever. And I don't think that's what John's saying. In the Bible, when it talks about death and life, sometimes what we hear is that those are purely talking about end results. There is sin that will lead to death, like end result judgment. And that's true. And there are some sins that don't lead that way, but might kind of have you somewhere in between. But the Bible's often talking about when it says death or life, it's talking about spiritual states. What does John say at the very beginning of this passage? That in him we have eternal life, present. We have eternal life right now. We have been given by Christ and his resurrection life and life abundantly. That's what Jesus is saying in this gospel passage, that whoever eats of this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Now, in some ways, he's talking about a result in that the second death of hell and judgment, you'll be rescued from that. But he's also talking about a spiritual state, that to eat of Christ is to have life. That's the same thing that Paul is referring to in Ephesians 2. He says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. How does someone tell someone they were dead in the sins and trespasses. You know, they weren't dead. They were alive. You weren't dead. You can't say that you were dead in the past tense. Like, you were either dead or you're not. What Paul is talking about is a spiritual state. You were once spiritually dead. You were spiritually cut off from the living God, cut off from Christ, cut off from where true life and true joy is to be found. Paul in Ephesians 2 says, and you were dead in the trespasses of sin in which you once walked. You know, that doesn't sound very dead. Walked is a verb. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Paul is saying that you can be both dead and alive at the same time. You were once dead and you walked according to the prince of the powers of this world, living in all kinds of sin. So obviously he's talking about more than just actual physical life and death. He's talking about a spiritual state. So what John is talking about here is there is sin that leads towards a spiritual state of death, of being cut off from God. And that not all sin can lead that way. In other words, it is possible for you and I to sin, and yet that sin not to lead us or perhaps to take us away from a loving, gracious relationship with God. How? How do we know whether it's sin is something that's leading us away from Christ or something that might perhaps still be within the grip of his love and his grace? Well, you know, what did we begin this whole service by singing? A love that will not let me go. That perhaps even in the midst of our sin, of our rejection, of our selfishness, of our cruelty, we could still find ourselves in the palm of the hand of a God who loves us. So how do you know? Well, what John is talking about is you know by your response to it. That sin that leads us, or perhaps when we sin, if we are led towards repentance of that sin, if we're led towards acknowledging that sin, of calling that sin out and coming to a loving, gracious God and saying, I have sinned against heaven. You know, what does the prodigal son do with his father? Behold, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Like that's a biblical picture of what repentance is. That if we do that, that sin, though it was bad and wrong, it is not leading us towards death, but actually still leading us, actually still in the midst of us having life. So what does John say that we should do when we see other Christians sinning? Pray for them. What does he say? He says, if you see your brother or sister committing what is not a deadly sin, you will ask, and God will give life to such a one, to those whose sin is not deadly. A deadly sin, and what John is talking about, is a sin that is ultimately us rejecting the gospel. Ultimately us saying, you know what? I want nothing to do with this God who says that he's forgiven me. I don't need his forgiveness. I don't want his forgiveness. The deadly sin is that sin in which we finally and fully reject and turn away from this God who so desperately and deeply loves us, who sent his son to die for us. And John is saying, if you see a believer sinning, but they're not rejecting Christ, but they're caught up in the midst of sin, pray for them, and that prayer will be effective. That's a powerful promise that the Word of God gives us. It means that your response towards your husband, when you see him in the midst of some kind of sin, is not to browbeat, not to judge, not to be passive aggressive, not to, I'm going to store that one away and use that one for the next time I get caught in something, you know. All the things that we do as human beings. If you see that your wife has caught up into some kind of sin, the response is not to hold it over her head or to be cruel or judgmental. It's to pray for them. It's to be an intercessor, to be someone who goes in front of them. When you see that your children haven't walked away from the faith, But they're caught up in something. They're caught up in all kinds of things. I mean, Lord knows. Most of you have had children, you know. They get caught up in all kinds of things. The response is not to be calling them every week, you know. Where are you this time? Where are you at? Who are you with? What are you doing? You know. It's to pray for them. One of the things that I loved about this service is that there's this powerful community of parents in this place of desperately praying for the children. It's one of the things I'll never forget about this church. Parents who are, I saw pleading that God would stay faithful to the promises that he made to our children in their baptism. That he would stay faithful to the word that he gave to them, that this promise, that this word, this promise is not only good for you, but it's good for your children and your children's children. But the response that we have towards sin in our lives, the response that we have towards sin in each other's lives, the response that we have towards sin in our own life, is nothing less than simply returning to the one who promised us salvation from it to begin with. It's coming back, returning with all of our heart to a loving Savior who gave his, as Jesus says, the bread of the world, this bread that's going to give life and not death, this bread that is going to bring eternal life to you is nothing less than my flesh given for you, my body nailed to a cross for you, my blood shed for you. We return to the gospel and we find it has the power to bring life, to bring healing, to bring restoration. So wherever you're at, whatever tonight has brought you, whatever's brought you here tonight, I invite you to trust him. Take him at his word. Hold his word up to him. God, you promised that if I prayed for them, you would answer that. Are you a liar? No. Hold him to it and see what happens. Amen.